children of all ages.
It's Game On.
NFF needs to call and draw to order, because we cannot have a technical coach who would discriminate amongst our players. They are football players. They have talents. You cannot discriminate. His attitude towards home-based players is unacceptable. It is negative to our football development in this country. And I call on the NFF to call him to order. I call on the NFF to hold him by the content, by the letter of his contract. But beyond that, he needs to shut up and do the work for which he was hired to do. He talks too much.
The voice there of the current Minister of Youth and Sport Development, Sunday Dare, says Gennett Rowe should shut up and do his job. Welcome back to Game On here on 993 Nigeria Info. We have Femi and the gang. I'm Chidiberi Anugulu once again. I've got the guys in here. Overdose in the house, the elder. There is the Ace of Wine as well on my far right hand corner. And the voice, the man with the voice of God. Welcome back. I think that's a new one, the voice. You probably want to adopt that. The voice of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of stale.
All right. Interesting stuff. I've got the big fish in the house. I've got the former Minister of Youth and Sport Development, Nigeria's former Minister of Youth and Sport Development, Barrister Solomon Delong. I met him 2 years ago. It's a little over 2 years ago when I met him in Abuja at the last National Sport Festival. I've not met lots of ministers, but he was absolutely active, making sure things were going on well. And that was the first time we had the National Sport Festival since Lagos 2012. Well, Barrister, welcome to Game On tonight.
Good evening, Nigerians, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Welcome, Barrister. It's great to have you on Game On tonight. We are called Femi and the Gang, and we're this is Nigeria Info Lagos. Of course, we have our stations across the other countries. I've got my colleagues here as well. There is Overdose, the elder. There is The Voice, and we've got we'll call her the mommy of the gang. She's Sarafina Napoleon, and they're all saying hi. A lot has been going down, Barrister, and again, it's a pleasure having you on Game On. How would you describe the sports scene in Nigeria since you left office back in 2019? How would you describe the way the sports scene has been?
Let me begin by saying it is always not Nigerians are not good managers of assessment like the one I'm going to do, because I mean, we're a society where we believe that even when things are not getting right, we should just join the bandwagon and sing praises. So, but I think sports has not fared better since 2019, and one of the major factors is one, the COVID-19. Now, but COVID-19 is not limited only to Nigeria. COVID-19 is a global phenomenon. And other nations of the world, other African countries have been able to get out of it. But, I mean, we are lingering too long under the cover of COVID. So everything that has not been moving fine in sports is attributed to COVID. But I know that before leaving as a minister in 2019, I had qualified Nigeria in football to almost every international game which Nigeria participated, including the World Cup. But When I left in 2019, shortly after that, we lost everything, including going for Olympics. We are defending champions of the bronze medal in Olympics, but we did not even qualify. So when you add up these things all together, the summary is that we are not doing that fantastically well as we are made to believe that we have gotten to the land of El Dorado.
Interesting stuff. So would you say that sport in Nigeria since you left office in 2019 has digressed rather than progressed?
Yeah, there are some progress that have been made. But I think, I don't know, it might be as a result of the change of baton and new leadership. So, you know, when a new leader comes in, he still has so many time to settle down. That could be one of the reasons. But I think now 2 years is enough a time for the new minister to be able to have understood his job very well and give good attention to some of these critical aspects of sports. We have not done very well because we needed to have consolidated on the successes recorded in the past 3.5 years. But it is like we are losing out everything. So if we continue like this, then we will be moving better, more in reverse than making progress.
So surely that means we have retrogressed since you left office back in 2019 under the current sport minister, Sonny Dare. Well, Barrister Solomon DeLong, let's go to football now. Nigeria will be having a squad of home-based players represent us in the upcoming international friendly. That's just in a few days' time against Mexico. What do you make of But, you know, this development, a squad made up of home-based players. What's your take on it?
That has been the direction I have been advocating. Because if we must grow our own football, it has to grow from Nigeria and not from outside. Now, this idea of abandoning our home-based players and then selling them to other countries so that they become professionals just for them now to be invited to come and play is more or less the same thing with colonialism or slave trade, because we refuse to grow our football nationally so that they can grow and become professionally a professional so that they can be attracted from home. But what you see happening is we have abandoned talents here. So when they are invited and they demonstrate those talents, they are now neglected, or rather they are encouraged to be sold to foreign countries. Now they go out of the country, they become professionals, and then we now invite them to come. So if we have started to patronize our home-based players, then I will begin to thank God that the Holy Spirit has touched our minds, and we are now beginning to see where we should start and grow football. Because all the great players from Nigeria, Christian Chukwu, Sergun Adebami, all the great minds started from Nigeria. They were not brought from elsewhere.
So you don't have any problem having a squad made up of home-based players playing against Mexico on the 3rd of July?
Look, we should not even look at whether Nigeria will win or Nigeria will lose. No. But giving them that exposure and experience is what we should look at as a benefit. Because if we have exposed them long before now, we would have expected dividends from it. But the match where we are playing with the home best players is not for anything but to expose these players and introduce them to the international football space. That is just the essence of what we are going to make out of it.
Is it not such a dilemma? Because when these players are now exposed to international football, they get contracts to other countries. And you've talked about this being one of the major issues why our league is not growing.
You see, there is nobody that can live without signing. The Federation signing him out. So if we are going to interrogate why our players have been leaving or why our talent have been depopulating into other clubs, it is because the governing body of football in Nigeria must sign you out. So we have to interrogate them. Who have been signing these players out? It is not because exposing them should be the fear. No. But the governing body should be patriotic enough to ensure that we do not allow our players to go out. And if we are not going to allow them to go out, we must create an enabling environment for them to remain and serve Nigeria. So these are the issues that are responsible for some of these things we are dealing with. But I think that having that type of, it is going to also encourage others at home to now begin to look towards that direction, because it means they have a future. But this idea of reducing them to Kano, to play in Kano, to play in Kaduna, to play in Jos, end up in Lagos and Port Harcourt, and at the end of the day, that is the end of the road, is quite discouraging. And I think that's not the best way to go.
You talk about patriotism. You talked about the NFF. Of course, they always have their signature with players going out, and they've got to confirm that's for players who play for club sides. Should the NFF do anything to do you think the NFF should do anything to curtail Nigerian talent leaving the country at the rates at which they are? Should a law be passed by the NFF? Should they come up with some form of clauses so to not to allow our players, our talents, like you said, easily just leave the country and depopulate the country of football talent?
You see, making any law that you cannot enforce, enforceability of law is one of the characteristics of law. That law is not going to be enforceable because the legislator or the man who will be making the law is guilty of not creating an enabling environment for the young talents to express their patriotic zeal. That is the problem.
So it's really all about our league not being good enough. It's really all about our league not being good enough.
Look, this whole story of Nigerian football rests squarely on the management of our league. If our league management is effective, definitely our football will also take the unique form of Nigerian football. But what we are playing today is a mixture of a conjecture of just bringing people from outside to save our faces and play to win. And if they lose, we sacrifice them. But if we grow our league here very well and league management becomes very, very efficient, our players are going to represent us and Nigerians will become more interested in football, watching our local football here than watching football outside. Because Nigerians are very, very passionate and patriotic people. But why Nigerians have abandoned Nigerian football and are looking outside is the administration of league management. So we cannot cure this defect by trying to now create this situation. which we are dealing with. No law can cure it, because if you are not paying the salaries or the allowances of players, you are not paying them their bonuses, you are owing them their salaries. For those who are in the National League, owing them for so many years, if you are owing even the officials so many months, how do you expect these people to be patriotic?
All right. I think that explains
even
it.
If you even if you take them elsewhere and you have not been able to, discharge your obligation of their welfare, you are wasting your time. The whole problem of football in Nigeria is about the welfare of the players and the welfare of the technical crew. Once this is addressed, I want to assure you that patriotism is part of the Nigerian football and we will get the best out of it.
Interesting. Barrister Solomon Delong, the current Minister of Youth and Sport Development, Sunday Dare, recently, just about 24 hours ago, 42 hours ago, if you may, 48 hours ago, hit out at the head coach of the Super Eagles. That Sunday Dare has come out to say that Genaro should shut up and do his job. You know, there's been a lot of talks about Genaro ignoring local players in the league, NPFL talent. And I wonder, what's your take on this as a former Minister of Youth and Sports?
That is a political statement. And then I don't expect the minister to go down too low to that level of talking to the coach.
You didn't think he went down? He went down low,
because the most qualified person to have asked the coach to shut up is the director in the ministry, not the minister. You see, if the minister is now engaging a coach in those outbursts, the authority of the ministry had gone very low to the minister talking to the coach. The minister has no business telling the coach to shut up. No. The minister would have the issue of calling to order. The minister is saddled with the responsibility to call NFF to order. And so, you cannot abandon the person you are supposed to call to order and then descend to the level of calling somebody who is supposed to be called to order to call him to order. This is just the situation. So it's a political statement. Yes, the coach would have misbehaved, but the minister should exercise his authority properly. And in doing that, he should deal directly with the NFL. And not the coach, because the ministry did not employ the coach. The coach was employed by NFL. And so the person whom you have no contract with, you cannot exercise any authority on him.
Do you think Sunday Dare brought disrepute to the seats of the sports minister by going down low on Genaro?
No, you see, the minister has always been misadvised by people around him. When he came in, he went and signed an agreement with NFF. And I immediately called his spamsec and told him, I said, why did you mislead the minister? The minister cannot sign a document with somebody he is supervising. So why would you allow the minister to sign an agreement with NFL? And he was trying to defend it. But when I explained to him that even himself, the PAMSEC, should have not been the appropriate authority to sign that agreement, rather, he should have been a director in the ministry. So right from that time, they have always been misleading him to do what is not proper for an occupant of that office.
Just to
the
get
minister
you,
is the ultimate.
Yeah, just to get you straight, Barrister, are you trying to tell us that the current permanent circle of the sport ministry is the one who is misleading the sport minister, Sunday Dare?
No, what I'm saying is, you see, a minister has his aides and he has his crew of advisors whom he listens to more than maybe even the technical people, because they have direct influence on him and they are always together with him. Some of them have been in sports, so they do not understand the significance of the authority vested on the minister. So they will ask him, no, you should just call the coach to order, or you should do this to the coach. No. Even if he wants to get to the coach, he will exercise his authority properly through the body he is supervising, which is the Nigerian Football Federation. And the Nigerian Football Federation employed the coach. So if he's going to say shut up, as he did in this statement, he should have asked a director in the ministry to make this statement, but not him. Let me ask you this question. If the coach now reply and say the minister should shut up, what do you think will play out? The government of Nigeria would have been embarrassed, because the minister is the occupant of the office of the president of Nigeria. The office of the minister is an extension of the office of the president of Nigeria.
So did the minister embarrass the office?
Are you saying President Buhari now will go down? No, but it is. That is the whole truth about it.
So the minister embarrassed the office?
He went too low. He shouldn't have been the person to have made such statement. It is just like saying that Buhari will now, as a president of Nigeria, go down to talk to a permanent secretary and ask the permanent secretary to shut up. The president has a minister in charge of that ministry. He has the head of service. So he cannot go, because if that person replied, like I said, if General replied today, he will be replying the minister directly. So that will be an embarrassment. And the office of the minister must be insulated. It must be insulated from things like this. Because if you engage in people that are below you, they can be encouraged to also react. And when they react, it is going to be embarrassing.
Barrister, how do you now advise the Nigeria Football Federation to handle this situation? Because the main situation is that Gennet Rohr is not using a lot of the local base players. We look at the national team these days, we find just a number of them. Anayo Iwala from Enyimba. We have to look at another name, who maybe Ikechukwu Ezenwa as well. Some of the two players who have been regular with the Super Eagles. But then, they're not so many names. And this is not down to not having talent in the country. You've said it on this interview that we do have talent in this country. And if we go back to the 2013 Nations Cup, won by the late Stephen Keshi, God bless his soul, he used a lot of key local base players. Godfrey Obabona, for instance, Sunday Mbaho, would a lot of Nigerians would never forget. So this issue, the main issue has led to all of this, is because Gennet Rohr has not been using a lot of the local players. And I wonder what your take is. You are an advocate for using local players. So what would you be telling Gennet Rohr now in that regard?
Gennet Rohr is emboldened by NFF. Everything Gennet Rohr is doing, he is emboldened by NFF. The act of Gennet Rohr is going to be equated to the act of a small boy insulting an elder in the presence of his father. Who brought Nero is LFF. And what is the terms of contract of Nero? If he is disregarding our national, local players or national players, could we now assume that that was what he was hired to do? Because as you sit there now, if you begin to operate outside the scope of the mandate of this station, you will be fired. But this man has been doing this for so many years. And at the turn of every event, the expiration of his contract, LFF will renew the contract for him. So how do you continue to keep somebody who has a penchant for disobedience of the mandate given to him? So I don't want us to blame General. No. General is emboldened by NFF, and he's doing the bidding of NFF. And the Nigerian media should set this narrative right. Let us not be playing the ostrich. The day he fell to measure up, he was supposed to be sacked. Countries have lost matches. I think it's either Benin or so, that in the recent times have sacked their coach for not measuring up. But this is somebody who had disregarded our national image, had disregarded our psychology, has no respect for our local football. He is involved in encouraging the patronage of players from outside based on his personal interest. And NFL is pretending as if it is helpless. So how do you employ somebody who becomes greater than you? Let us not be blaming General. I don't see the man having any fault at all. He is doing the bidding of those who employed him, full stop. If he is not doing that, I challenge them to fire him. If that is not what they employ him to do, they should fire him.
A tough one there for you, from you, Barrister. Well, I've got my colleague Overdose, the elder here. Overdose, well, is...
Yeah, thank you, Minister, for your time.
Overdose.
It's an overdose on sports, actually, overdose. Minister.
It's an overdose.
It's an overdose. No. Oh, no. No, I don't want overdose. I want normal dose.
Anyway, Minister, I know that, you know, while you were in office during your tenure, you had a lot of fans as well as a lot of people who criticized you. And the one thing that many people criticized you for was the fact that, for one, looking at our 2016 Olympic performance, our performance at the Olympics in 2016, especially the football event, you promised as minister that you were going to, you know, really refurbish the stadiums or the stadias throughout the country, which you didn't do at that time. And then again, another sensitive issue which I want to bring up is the mismanagement of the 135,000 talking about IAAF funds. That also was while you were minister of sports in the country. I don't know what you have to say about that, because while some people might actually, you know, finger and point to what you did, you know, a whole lot of people still feel that your tenure especially contributed to nosedive, so to speak, in terms of sports in the country. What do you have to say to that, sir?
You don't prevent people from holding their opinions on issues. It is natural. So whatever opinion people hold about the tenure, it is the effect of posterity. Posterity will determine that. Back to the issue of the $135,000. There was no any $135,000 mismanaged. It was the body that sent the money to Nigeria said they made a mistake. That was not what they intended to send. But the word mismanagement was invented by those who wanted to give Dalum a bad image. Because if you were supposed to send 10,000 to me and you send 150,000 and then you send a confirmation that that was what you intended to send. And after Edmunds, you came back and said, oh, I made a mistake. And I said, that was quite a bad mistake. Because if you have sent money to us and the confirmation, and now Edmunds, you now come and tell us that the money sent was what we intended. That raises a very serious issue. But of course, it was not the story that those ears that didn't like but first of all, don't want to hear. So they invented word mismanaged. So it was not any money mismanaged. Then back to the issue of the rehabilitation of the National Stadium. Yeah, of course, that was my intention. I wanted those infrastructure refurbished and put to use. Projects and the government, as at the time we came in, had no money to do these things at all, because we were even running the government at a very low budget funding. So there was no money to do it, and I didn't have money as a person to do it. So it was not like government had money and they couldn't do it. After all, it was very difficult for us to even secure releases almost all through my period because of the economic downturn or the recession Nigeria went. We came in Nigeria was in recession in 2016, and we had to work very hard to take account of recession. That was what happened. And therefore, I think you make that judgment, you also needed to have a look at the circumstances which were created.
All right. Now, let's go back to that time you were still in office. And I remember that in terms of preparations for the Olympics, it was not really easy for the athletes. The kit for the athletes that were supposed to fly the flag of Nigeria did arrive late. And also, in terms of the under-23 side under Samson Siasia as well, they were camped in the U.S. at some point. They also had same challenges. At some point, they even had to train without kits. And they almost missed their first games at the Olympics because they arrived few hours to kick off of the first game. What happened? What brought about such poor preparations for the athletes?
Olympics. Funds for Olympics were not released until we were 4 days into Olympics before the first tranche of funds were released. I personally borrowed 50 million from my friend to come to Nigeria. So there were no funds from government and there was no magic anybody could perform. And I was not in the place to bring down the government by coming out to say, oh, the government did not do this, the government did not do that. I am part of the government. So I wouldn't have said that. So I bear the bronze and took the blame as an individual, so that it can be easy for me to be the sacrificial lamb and the government should survive. That was what happened.
Yeah. Great evening to you, Minister. Thank you so very much for doing this with us. Very quickly, I'll just take you back to an interview that you granted about a month ago during the closing ceremony of the Confederation of African Athletics Regional Championships, where you reacted to the dissolution of boards by the sport ministry. A very sodding decision that, you know, did rock the Nigerian sporting space. And, you know, there were lots of talks. You particularly talked about the fact that that move by the ministry is one which is definitely going to backpedal sport in the country, and you were particular about, you know, the Tokyo Olympics. You did talk about the fact that it will affect the performances or our representation now as we count down to the Olympics. I mean, it's just a couple of weeks away now. So just for you to elucidate on that, and also, you know, how do you think that the current minister can improve, you know, in his tenure currently? What do you think can be done to improve that? So just find a way to merge those two together, and that will be it for now.
Thank you very much for asking this very specific question. I personally think that I will begin with the issue of how the minister can improve his tenure. I don't wish him bad. I wish he should succeed, because personally I'm somebody who always loves those who come after me to do better than me. I was the only minister out of my colleagues who called his predecessor and his successor, and congratulated him. And he came to my house and I gave him advice on some of the things and encouraged him to go and study my handbook over not, because it is very comprehensive. So if I do not mean well for him, I would have not given him that advice. That having said, let me come back to the dissolution of the National Federation. The dissolution of the National Federation by the ministry is unlawful. It is unlawful because there is a law governing the administration of national federations. The democratization policy, which I initiated in 2017, it's a policy of the federal government. It's not my policy. That has not been reversed. So if my successor has not reversed the policy and then proceeded to act outside the authority of law, you cannot refer to that as having acted very well. So I think the best thing would have been to allow the Federation to conduct the elections based on their constitution. So whosoever advised him to dissolve the national federations, to be honest, we might not see the consequences now, but he is going to go down history with a very, very bad image on encouraging him to act unlawfully. The minister was taken to court. He went to court and defended himself. He lost the case. He appealed. He lost the appeal. He went again to the Supreme Court. Currently, the minister is in the Supreme Court. And then the same person who has gone to the Supreme Court will now turn around, abandon the Supreme Court, and come back and say, oh, I am going to restore to self-help. I think that is bad enough. Because he shouldn't have been the person to have done that. So that is why I said it is unlawful, because he didn't act lawfully. My advice to him will be that, you see, if he needs to understand certain things very well, he should consult broadly. There is nobody that has monopoly of knowledge. He should consult broadly on issues. If the issue has to deal with law, he should consult his legal department, so that at the end of the day, he doesn't make these avoidable mistakes.
Interesting. Oh, thank you, Barrister. You know, when I met you in 2018 in Abuja at the National Sports Festival, you appealed to me as a man of proverbs and parables and wise words. And I have something back from 2018. I don't know if you can just take a listen to this.
How they motivate the players, because motivation depends on... No, there is an adage in my village that you don't teach a man who digs the well how he enters the well. So I don't think...
So I just wanted to go back, bring that back.
There is an adage in my village that you don't teach a man who digs the well how he enters the well.
All right. So, I mean, you're a man of wise words, and... After you left office back in 2019, you often talked about how successful you were managing the Nigeria Football Federation. There were a lot of clashes between yourself and the Nigeria Football Federation. How do you think your successor, Sunday Dare, is doing so far?
And it will not be for the public space as to how he should manage the issue of Nigerian Football Federation. It's left for him to take the advice. But from what we had in the last 24 hours, of course, if he had a very good relationship with them, we are beginning to see the fruits of the good relationship. If they are doing well, we will see it. But the problem of Nigerian Football Federation or Nigerian football is that the Nigerian Football Federation statute is not a statute that has been domesticated in Nigeria, meaning that there is no law governing football in Nigeria. So we are governed by opinions of those in charge of football. And if you allow people to govern with their opinion, then this crisis is imminent. So Sunday Dare may not be different in dealing with this situation, because however hard you will try, there is no legislation governing the conduct of anybody there. So they are behaving the way they like because there is no law. The FIFA statute they are carrying has not been domesticated. And our constitution said that once there is an international treaty signed by Nigeria, it must be domesticated for it to have the force of law in Nigeria. And for your information, I am so surprised that, I mean, our media has not taken this issue. I don't know why it is not of interest to them. There is no law today governing sports in Nigeria. There is none. So whatever we are doing is people doing, using their opinions to do things and assume they are right. So if there is no legal standard setting boundaries for people on how to behave, you are going to have this type of confusion. So the confusion now is you choose who you dislike and paint him a devil, and then you choose who you like to be singing. But my appeal to the media is that they help me succeed by, I mean, scrutinizing everything while I was in office. I am surprised that today there is dead silence, even when there is a need for the media to scrutinize everything that is happening. Somebody told me that, the Nigerian sports is making progress. I said, that is what we want. We want the sports to move. He said, there are fantastic performances going on at the trials in Lagos. Can you tell us what happened in Lagos? So you see, this is the irony of a society that is made up of double standard and hypocrisy.
So,
when it was the time of Solomon, Dalung, there is no day you will not hear the news, sack Dalung.
So you're saying, in essence, that the media is not...
None of you had ever appreciated anything that I did. The national, the Olympic swimming pool in Lagos, I renovated it. I transformed the Parapower Gymnasium to world-class standard. These things are there. You cannot hear them in the news. None of you is talking about it. Today, everybody is dead silent.
So, are you saying that the media is not scrutinizing Sunday Dare like you were scrutinized?
At all, they are not. What they did to me, they are not doing it. That's why I'm accusing them of double standard.
While you were sport minister, there were lots of issues on corruption in the Nigeria Football Federation. Lots of news about corruption with the NFF then, while you were, and you know, there was a lot of clashes as well. Do you think those corruption issues are still there today in the NFF?
Well, you know, allegations of corruption depends on particular acts. So there were things that happened that were investigated by the Economic and Financial Crime Commission, and they turned out a report. Their report indicted certain people. I still have the copy. Now, criminal indictments are not swept under the carpet anyhow. Even after 100 years, they still remain very relevant because I have the report of EFCC. So I was not going after anybody. No, I was speaking based on the report of EFCC. But whether there are corruption going on now, I might not be in the position to know, because you don't just accuse somebody of corruption when you don't have facts.
All right. It's been a pleasure having you on Game On tonight. Former Minister of Youth and Sport Development, Solomon Dalong. Barrister Solomon Dalong, thank you for taking time, and we really do appreciate. I'd like you to maybe drop a proverb for us. I know, like I said earlier, you're a man of proverbs. Is there anyone you want to drop for our audience? I'm sure the media have been kind to you.
Well, the media has not. Yeah, they've been very kind to me because their scrutiny helped me to sit up. But they have not been kind to that Sunday that enough. So however big Tolo Tolo is, it is going to be carried inside a basket.
Well, there goes your former Minister of Youth and Sport Development, Solomon Dalong. Thank you, Barrister, for stopping by on Game On tonight.